The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Kathy Lee Gifford shares her personal story of finding meaning after major life changes.
I feel that. I feel like I'm 30 years old.
Wow.
I barely sleep. I'm so excited every morning. I can't wait to get to the work that I'm doing. I am thrilled, probably more excited than I've ever been in my whole life, because God's not finished with me yet.
It's never too late. Next on Life Today.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I'm so glad you stopped by. And I kind of have a sneaky suspicion you will be too at the end of today's program. Today, we have been joined again by just the wonderful, beautiful, straight-shooting, God-loving, Bible-loving woman, Kathy Lee Gifford. Thank you so much for being with us again today.
Thank you for having me again. I'm sure you got some nasty comments when I was on before.
Interesting.
You're showing me mercy by having me back.
No, interestingly enough, we probably got more positive comments about you. Even, I think I told you this, after we did the show on The Rock, The Road, and The Rabbi, and with your oratorio, Nicole C. Mullen, I had two letters from prisoners who said, please, could you get me that book? And please, could you send me a Bible so that I could study it along with the book? So God is using you in ways, Kathy Lee, that only heaven will reveal. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, we're going to continue on with that whole series of books too, because it was a lovely discovery to make, which is that people are hungry to know the word. Sheila, I thought there was no intellectual or spiritual curiosity left in the world anymore. You know, just a few people that want to dig deep and go. But I think it's the cry of every human heart to know the truth.
I think so too. You talk about your extraordinary journey in your new book, It's Never Too Late. I didn't know that you worked for like maybe almost a year with Catherine Kuhlman.
Yes.
What was that like?
The last year of her life. Bizarre, honestly.
Because I've
very
never...
Very bizarre.
Yeah.
She was a very, very interesting woman. She was a lot like Oral Roberts, the exact opposite of Billy Graham. Billy was, he was for the masses, but Billy, when you were talking to him, you would be the only person in the world. He had that
right.
Beautiful way of just seeing you and loving you as an individual. When I went to Oral Roberts University, Oral was the exact opposite of Billy. He was a great preacher and evangelist and all that, but was uncomfortable one-on-one. Well, never have I met anybody more uncomfortable one-on-one than Catherine Kuhlman was. She had a magnificent faith-healing ministry. She actually tried to pattern herself after Amy Semple McPherson, whom I had written a musical about. I spent 13 years bringing her story to Broadway. So, but I wasn't writing that story at the time when I met her. I just moved to Los Angeles and I needed to work. And my agent at the time said, audition for Catherine Kuhlman. And I had heard of her, but I'd never met her. And she said hello, and she was very, very regal woman. And then I sang What a Friend We Have in Jesus and maybe Amazing Grace. I don't remember. She walked over to me with those long fingers. And she put her fingers on my face and she said, it's adorable.
Wow.
And then she walked away.
That's even scary.
Oh, no. She never said another word to me that I remember for a year.
Wow.
Yeah. But that didn't mean she wasn't a godly woman, wasn't doing what God called her to. It's just that everybody's different.
Yeah. No, that's true.
And not everybody's warm and fuzzy. She was not warm and fuzzy.
We're all a little bit weird.
She died that year.
Wow.
I didn't kill her. I promise you, I didn't hurt her.
You know, you did another show with us, and I referenced the story, but didn't give you the time or the space to unpack it. And that's, I think it was maybe initially Frank's relationship, but with Evel Knievel. Tell us how all of that came to be.
Well, the whole world knew Evel Knievel. Sure. He was the biggest daredevil stunt person in the world. He was legendary for doing insanely dangerous things and usually carrying them off. So I'll just take a brief. It's not about any of the stunts, but I became friends with Frank's friends, obviously. And Evel would call all the time, and he'd say, hey, Kathy, it's Evel. Can I speak to Frank? And I'd go, sure. And then I'd get before you go, I just want to tell you something. And I said, what? He goes, I hate Jesus. And I go,
whoa.
Why? Why do you hate Jesus? And he would do this litany of things that were wrong, and he blamed, and therefore he hated Jesus. So I said, well, you can hate him all you want, Evel, but he loves you, and nothing's going to change that. I'll get Frank for you, okay? And I'd get Frank because I didn't want to hear any more from Evel. And then as the years went on, Evel would call really for me. And he'd start out with, Kathy, I'll talk to Frank in a little bit. First of all, I want to tell you that I still hate Jesus. And it would start all over again. And what I said, you know what, Evel? Well, I pray for him now by that time every day because he's in my list of people that need to know Jesus. So
right.
I said to him one particular day, I said, you know what, Evel? One day you're going to call me and you're going to say, Kathy, you were right. I love Jesus. You were right. And I'm, you know, said, and he just laughed and no, I'm always going to hate Jesus. Can I talk to Frank now? It just one day, darn, did he not call me? With exactly those words. Kathy, you were right. I love Jesus.
Wow.
I accepted him last night in my heart, and I'm healed, and he was sobbing. And he didn't even want it. He said, can I tell Frank? I want to tell Frank I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. And there's so many stories like that. So many.
Amazing.
God is faithful.
That's why I love this book.
We aren't faithful,
oh, God
but
is
he
so
is,
faithful.
You know, Sheila?
Yeah.
He is.
One of the great collaborations that we are benefiting from now is, you know, you've moved to Nashville and you began doing some musical collaboration with Brett James, who is just kind of a legend.
Yes.
How did that all unpack for you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Brett is, he won the Grammy for Jesus Take the Wheel for Carrie Underwood. A couple other people wrote it with him. But, yeah, he's a legend in Nashville as a songwriter. I'd never heard of him. When Hoda and I came down in June of 2017 to cover the CMA Awards, and that's the Country Music Association Awards or something like that. And one of the things we were doing was, you know, what's it like to sit in one of those rooms with one of the best writers in the town, in the business, and write a song? So I just wrote some bawdy little country, you know, lyrics and said, I'll have something to play with. And I said, I'd never heard of him. They said, 500 hits. I said, okay. We go and we sit down. And within 15 seconds, we've written a little song. It was boom, boom, boom. And I was leaving, and he said, I was such a huge fan of your husband's, Kathy, and it had been 2 years since Frank had passed. And he said, how are you and your children doing? And I said, Brett, we're doing great. We really are. I found him that day. This was the look on his face. I knew he saw Jesus, and Jesus took his breath away. And one of these days, I'm going to write that song. And he looked at me, and he goes, well, then let's write that song. So I came back to Nashville the next week. We wrote it in about 20 minutes. Started writing all the music for my movie that has just been out this year. Then Came You. Brett and I co-wrote all the songs on that. And then we wrote another one that we premiered at the White House called Jesus Is His Name for Christmas. And he's written one of the oratorios, the God of the How and When, with me as well. So, yeah, God. And he's actually, although I don't write with him much anymore because he's, you know, our worlds are just, you know, gone off different ways. I'm writing, because of him, I'm writing with everybody else in Nashville because I got street cred because I was writing with Brett James, you know, which which was lovely. And, but God used Brett hugely in my life, and I've thanked him for this because I had worked in Nashville off and on all my life, but I'd never contemplated ever living here. And because I was coming every week, and then towards the end of our getting prepared to shoot our movie, every weekend I was coming. And I'd get on the plane, Sheila, after, you know, working all weekend with him, and I'd go, why am I so happy when I'm down here? And I realized that because it's such a joyful place here. You know, nobody cares who you're voting for. They just say, after you vote, let's get together, have a drink, and write a song. You know, they love, their country.
That.
They love God. They don't tell you how to live your life, how to think. They don't cancel you if they don't like your opinion on something. And they really, really have a heart for God in this part of the country. And I didn't realize how much my soul was starving for it. So because of all that time I was spending with Brett, I said, I'm going to get a little place down here, which turned into, within a couple of months, a much bigger place, and I live here full time now. I kept my home in Connecticut because my children love it, and I love to go back and visit, but this is my home now. I'm a Tennessee girl.
I love that. We used to live in Nashville, and I love Nashville so much.
It's an amazing place.
Yeah.
Yes, yes,
and,
it is.
And you're right. I mean, you bump into people.
It's fun.
Yeah, and they're big names, but there's no pretension. I mean, you go to church and there's, you know, five people that are on the charts at the moment, just there worshiping Jesus. I mean, it's amazing.
I know it. I know. And I was just taking a long walk in my park yesterday, and I walked into Dan Heseltine from the Jars of Clay. We'd just written a Christmas song in the year. Hey, you know, everybody, you run into everybody, Reba at lunch and Winona, and everybody's down here, and everybody's just out with all the people. You know, I don't run into the arrogance that I had in New York and in L.A. I don't run into the self-righteousness. I mean, people are just, they let you be. Yeah. They let you be. And I'm so grateful for that. Yeah, I feel like God has led me out into a spacious place, the Bible says,
I love that. You know, when I read your book, It's Never Too Late, I found myself wishing my mom could have read it. My mom became a widow when she was 33 years old.
My Lord.
Yeah, my dad took his own life when he was 34.
That's right, I remember now, yes.
But I thought this would be a great book for anyone. I was thinking even of women in their 30s and 40s. It would be a great book to read because you have a heart, too, for those who've lost their husbands. Because there's so much practical stuff through the book that I thought, oh, gosh, I wish Kathy Lee could have sat down through her book with my mom and encouraged her to dream
again. I would have loved meeting her.
I would have loved that.
You know what I hope I have a heart for, Sheila, is what Jesus had a heart for, which is any hurting person, whether they've lost a spouse or, lost their health or lost a child or lost their way. So many people, there's a malignancy of the soul that every human being has in one way or another. We may not have cancer, but we have a malignancy of the soul that needs a healing touch from Jesus. And so this book is really for anybody that feels like they've given up on their dreams, or God must have made a mistake with their dreams, or they're blaming themselves or blaming others, and so they're carrying around all of that too, which is a sure sign you're never going to get to those dreams if you're carrying around all that baggage. And God doesn't want us to, even if it's Louis Vuitton, He doesn't want us carrying baggage around like that. He wants us freed up to be everything He created us to be. I love how the scriptures. And that was sort of about the other little book that I have for the children, the Hello Little Dreamer book, is about that even before the dawn of creation, God saw us and He put our dreams in us while we were being formed in our mother's wombs. I mean, they're as ancient as creation itself, and God puts great stock in our dreams. So I am just now, as a mature, I guess, senior citizen, just still living out the dreams God put in me in my mother's womb when He was not fearfully making me in my mother's womb, which is, again, a bad translation of that word, wondrously and awe-inspiringly, making us so unique, so precious in His sight that... So I wanted little children to understand that right from the beginning, God has dreams for them that are bigger than they could even imagine.
I have that book right here, Hello, Little Dreamer. It's a beautiful book. It's beautifully illustrated, too, by Anita Schmidt. But
she did a gorgeous job.
She did. It's really lovely. But here's what I want to ask you. We're at the end of a year that nobody anticipated. I mean, it was, we've heard that word over and over, unprecedented. How have you managed, Kathy Lee, to maintain your joy, your enthusiasm, your get up every day and live that day as if it's the last? How have you managed to maintain that in difficult days?
Well, I've been grateful for one thing, for the fact that I don't any longer have to get up and go into New York City to work on the Today Show, although I love and miss Hoda, and I have so many dear friends there. But I would have been the most miserable human being on the face of the earth, having to, you know, wear a mask all the way in there and sit so far away and not have, you know, what made our show so wonderful was our loving on each other and just laughing and, you know, and COVID just changed the whole complexion of that show. I would have been, I would have been pretty miserable not being able to hug Hoda or anybody else there. But as a result, I spent the first month of the lockdown at my home in the Keys, which I've recently sold, but I had a beautiful home there. Cody, my son, said, "Mom, go where the old people go for this. Go down to our house." We hadn't closed it down for hurricane season yet. So I went down and stayed for a month. And it was as if there was no COVID there. Everybody was still going on their sailboats. Everybody was playing golf. Everybody was, you know, the only thing you couldn't do is eat inside a restaurant. So I felt kind of guilty, actually. Blessed, but then I was writing the entire time. When you're a writer, you can do it from anywhere at any time. And then I live now in a state that opened early, thank God. So when I found out that Nashville was opening up and Tennessee was open for business, I said, "I'm going home." And I came back here and started working on these oratorios that are about to come out and recording, you know, very, very safely, socially distancing. And you can do those kinds of things. And writing. You know, you can write virtually, or you can. I'm sitting here in my writing room right now, one of my writing rooms, and I had lots of people over, and we were just careful. So I never missed a step. And then I promoted my new movie. Then came you from here, and the new little book, and now I'm promoting the new book. And it's I've had maybe the busiest year of my entire 67 years on this planet. It's crazy.
Wow.
But
wow.
Because God is not limited by anything, as you so well know. Time is nothing to God. He's created it. In fact, he told me in a prophetic word through a dear friend that God was taking me back 20 years. He was going to take 20 years off of my life in terms of at all the work. And he gave me this at the age of 66, that I'm taking 20 years off for all of your artistic stuff so you can catch up. And I tell you,
wow.
I feel that. I feel like I'm 30 years old.
Wow.
I barely sleep. I'm so excited every morning. I can't wait to get to the work that I'm doing. And I've been told that the work that I'm doing is going to touch the multitudes. These things, you know, now go all over the world when you put something up. It can literally impact the whole world for the kingdom of God. So I am thrilled, probably more excited than I've ever been in my whole life, because God's not finished with me yet. I tell a story in the book about Paul Newman teaching me, you know, if you've got a pulse, you still have a purpose. And you know, I mean, I've been blessed to know all of these people. There's stories about Al Pacino in there. There's Dolly Parton. But that's been my life's work. I know those people. Many of them are my friends. And so I'm not trying to write a book about, look at me, because I actually feel like I'm Waldo. I'm Waldo, who's with all these famous people, and what the heck am I doing there? Except that God has placed me there for his purposes. There's no other reason for it.
In fact, Dolly Parton wrote the foreword for your book, and I want everybody to hold of It's Never Too Late. This is an incredible book. You'll want to read it. You want to get one for your kids, for your husband, for your mother-in-law. It'll help her, trust me. But we would love it if you would help us a little bit now. There's some children in the world who need us right now. So let's step up in Jesus' name. Would you watch this?
Now, you might have heard me refer before to malnutrition as the silent killer. And that's because it comes like a thief in the night, and it steals a child's life away, silently. Many times an unknown and nameless child, another small little grave, but a life that is lost because of something that we can so simply solve. A life stolen away simply because there wasn't enough food. The desperation you can see written all over this child, because this little body is fighting a fight that chances are it will probably lose. A fight of life and death. It's a tragedy of epic proportion because more than 200,000 of these children die each and every month on the continent of Africa. And it can actually be changed pretty simply. If we can get to these villages where this child comes from, and we can get mission feeding into those villages, what we're able to ensure is that we wind that clock back. We retell that story. Where instead of going to bed without a meal that day, that child goes to bed having received an orange bowl filled with the most nutritious food, nourishing its body and saving its life. That's why we say mission feeding saves lives, because it does. But mission feeding doesn't happen just by us being here. Saving this child's life doesn't happen because of us. It happens because of you. Please do whatever you can do and give the very best gift that you can give today. Give the gift of life.
Hard to erase that kind of image from your mind. And I cannot even tell you what it's like to walk with a mother to the place where she has buried her child. And there's so many moms whose images are in my heart, who I still pray for to this day. And I remember one in particular, and went and we just knelt down by the grave where she'd buried her little one. And her grief was overwhelming. I mean, we had to, you know, Janice, who travels with us and takes all the great photographs for life, I mean, we almost had to carry her back to her village. She couldn't stand. It was just... And what I felt from her was the weight of her hopelessness. Because for her, if you think about it, she had done everything she could do. She, I mean, literally would go through and dig up. You know, there's no rain and it's dry and it's arid. But she would dig with her fingernails to try and find something to put in a bowl for her child. She would do anything she could, and it wasn't enough. And so she had to bury her little one. And so for her, if you put yourself in her shoes, it's hopeless. But that's why you and I are here, because we can be the answer to those mothers' prayers. They're not asking for a lot. They're not asking for a new house. They're not asking for anything like that. All they're asking is, will you help me give my child one really good meal every single day? I often think of the great irony that half of us in America are on diets and then just one plane ride away, they're literally starving to death. But you and I can change that. Now, this, we're now at the end of the year. We have made a commitment to our partners who are on the ground waiting that we would feed 350,000 children this year. We cannot fall down. This is the last week of mission feeding. So if you haven't responded up until this point, let me tell you how easy it is. For $30, you can feed three children for 3 months. And the great thing is that the child comes to school to get the meal. So not only does it give them a meal, it helps them break out of that cycle of poverty and lack of education. $50 feeds five. If you're able to, in this last week of mission feeding, maybe you want to give a year-end gift, this is the perfect place to do it and the perfect time. $1,000 will feed 100 children for 3 months. I mean, what a blessing. Not that we have to do this, but what a privilege that we get to do this in the name of Jesus. So please, I'm asking you right now, will you go to your phone? Will you call that number on the screen and give the very best gift possible so that we can see these children, so we can see the malnutrition clinics emptied in Jesus' name? Please call. Please call now.
Today, on top of the daily fight for life and food, families and children across Africa are now forced to deal with the challenges of a global health crisis. Because of COVID-19, food scarcity has increased drastically, and the fear of dying from lack of food is far greater than the virus itself. Even in these unprecedented times, Mission Feeding won't stop. With your help, Mission Feeding will continue to be a daily source of food, encouragement, and health for the 350,000 children counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you 40 Days of Healing Promises. This beautiful hardcover devotional will encourage you in your faith as you dive deep into the healing promises that are yours in Jesus' name. With your gift of $100 or more, please request a Blessings for Your Home Bowls and Tea Towels set. This set of bowls and two beautifully designed tea towels will make a wonderful addition to your home and serve as a reminder of your help in blessing others as a friend of life. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
One of the things that life we care about so much is bringing the hope of Jesus Christ. But first of all, we want to bring hope to a mother that she can feed her children. I mean, many times she has to put these two to bed hungry, and she tries to encourage them. And you know what she says to them? Who knows what tomorrow will bring? She's trying to keep hope alive. That's why mission feeding is so critical. This is not a let's do this sometime next week, next month, next year. No, it's life and death right now. And mission feeding saves lives. We've done it before, but the need has never been greater. We need your help today. We need your help now. Thank you, friends, for watching this. And remember, this is our last week of mission feeding. I've been on the ground with these moms. I've promised them I'll be back, but I promised I'd come home and tell their story. So let's make sure we meet every challenge. And Kathy Lee, I just want to say thank you. What a joy. For any gift you send in today, we will send you Kathy's brand new book, It's Never Too Late. We love you. Thank you so much.
Love you, my darling sister. See you soon.
See you soon. And we'll see you next time on Life Today. Thanks for being with us.
Robert Morris shares how you can find God's supernatural favor in your family, finances, and faith, and live a blessed life. Next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.